Good Monday morning. Welcome back to the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. And this is our time when we get our Texas wheat producers update with Stilly Fischbacher. And Stilly, as always, we appreciate having you on today.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Of course, we always enjoy speaking with you. And we've pretty much wrapped up our updates on harvest. But that's okay because really, early wheat planting is right around the corner. What do our producers need to keep in mind as they head towards that?
Well, sure. We've been talking to a lot of our AgriLife agronomists and reading the content that they've been putting out, and it's always really great information to have, especially when you start preparing for planting. Right now, most recently, they've released the wheat picks list, and you and I have talked about that before. The wheat varieties that these professionals would choose to plant on their farm if they were planting wheat. They go through multiple years of data, and so we know they're really reliable in terms of not only yield, but also quality and insect and disease resistance. So really important factors there to make it onto that list. And so it could be a starting point for a lot of our producers who might be trying to make that decision on which variety they want to plant. Also, very important consideration before planting is controlling volunteer wheat. Seems to be just about the right time to start making sure that we get that volunteer wheat under control before we start planting. I think the current recommendation is to have a 2 week window there in between. When you manage your volunteer wheat and when you plant. And so I know I've seen some of that happening already. Very important consideration to manage wheat disease. We always hear that from our agronomists, how important controlling that green bridge is as we move from a possible volunteer out there in your field into planting next year's wheat. Right now, what we're watching is abnormally dry conditions continue to expand across the state. Right now, 65% of the state is rated as abnormally dry or in some category of drought, even all the way up to extreme drought. Hopefully, we will be getting some precipitation and moisture, which we know is essential for planting a wheat crop. But a lot of our primary wheat growing regions are currently very dry, and so that's a concern for us as we move into planting. We are also expected to go into a La Niña later this year, which would be drier conditions, which we would expect drier conditions in a La Niña event. And so that's of concern as well. Something we'll have to watch, and our producers will maybe have to manage as best they can as we move through the growing season. Something of concern right now. One other thing related to the wheat crop, we did get updated production figures from USDA last week. So the Texas production for the 2020 wheat crop was downgraded to 63 million bushels. That is a little bit of a decline from what we had in previous estimates. In fact, as we've moved through these monthly estimates, we've continued multiple times to trim that crop projection for Texas. So a little bit disappointing to see that continue to drop again to 63 million bushels versus where we were earlier in those earlier projections, but important information to know about the crop that we just harvested.
Yeah, absolutely. Those numbers can always help us, especially looking forward to the next year. And with that, we're talking numbers. We have a lot of programs that our producers can be a part of. What updates do you have for us on those?
Sure. Well, there's a couple FSA programs that we have our eye on. So just recently, we've seen some more provisions from the Farm Bill being implemented at FSA, specifically for CRP, emergency haying and grazing. Typically, in the past, for emergency haying and grazing, the request had to start at the county level and be approved at the county and the state and the national. And it's a little bit of a cumbersome process to qualify for that emergency haying and grazing on CRP acreage. So what they've done is implemented a provision that now it's tied directly to the drought map. That was the drought information I was referencing earlier, and producers are very familiar with that information because it is used in different programs. But now it's more of an automatic classification of drought and if you qualify for these emergency haying and grazing processes. So very interesting change there that I think will be friendly to most producers. As always, before you start making those decisions, make sure that you contact your local FSA office. You do have to submit an application and then also get amended plans from NRCS to move forward with those provisions, but definitely an important move to still see the progress going on implementing these provisions from the Farm Bill and also making that more of an automatic classification and less cumbersome process. Also, last week we saw the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program updated. They did add additional commodities that were eligible. Unfortunately, still wheat is not eligible. For the dates that they are looking at, we did not meet that 5% loss threshold. And despite our best efforts as an industry, not only with USDA directly, but through our friends on the Hill, we have yet to see assistance for wheat for the 2020 crop. The Coronavirus Food Assistance Program actually paid out on 2019 crop that was still in storage in early January. But what we're pushing for now is for additional assistance for the 2020 crop, the one that we just harvested and I just reported on. So not as important for your wheat acreage or wheat production because it is not eligible. But if you have other crops that are eligible for that program, make sure that you get in before sign-up ends on September 11th. So that is a change date. The original sign-up deadline was in August, and now they have moved that to September 11th. So I just wanted to make sure that our producers were aware of that. Also, this is the time of year when we start really thinking critically about crop insurance options. Our sales closing date is coming up in the end of September, so we still have some time here. But we have opened that price reporting period that we watch for our base price in those crop insurance revenue policies. So we'll run that through the middle of August here through the middle of September, and that will set the guaranteed price that will be part of those revenue policies that we know are very popular with our farmers. So we'll watch what's happening in the futures market to determine what will be our base price there and then try to make those best decisions on what's happening with crop insurance and what type of policies work best for your farm. So something to keep in mind as we move forward through the next month as well.
All right. Yeah, great information there on those programs. And then you also recently gave out an award with Texas Wheat. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. So every year we are allowed to choose a county agent from across the state to award as the Wheat County Agent of the Year. And we were able to present that award in person. We were excited to do that in July. So just here recently, we gave that award to Zach Davis of Hill County. He does a great job in that county of keeping his producers up to date on wheat issues. He does manage a variety trial there where he can have the farmers out to see firsthand how things are doing. He actually held one of those events virtually this year, so he's kind of going above and beyond to try to maintain his contact with those farmers in that region. And I know he's not here in your listening area, but I just think it's important that we highlight the work that these county agents do. We have a lot of really great county agents here in the Panhandle that provide great service to our wheat farmers and then on up to the AgriLife professionals and specialists that we work with. We're just so thankful for what we have here in our state in terms of those educational resources. And specifically, congratulations to Zach Davis for receiving that award.
Absolutely. Yeah. And along with that, I know you mentioned the Zach Davis there in Hill County. He was doing virtual, crop tours and that sort of thing, variety trials. But there are other organizations that are using videos and technology to help the wheat industry also. What are some of those organizations and what have they been up to?
Sure. Well, the one I want to highlight is the Wheat Foods Council. This is a group that we are part of and we help fund along with other states to try to increase the education that consumers and professionals have about the importance of wheat in the diet. So it's all nutrition-based. There is a lot of crop information as well because we want to make sure that our consumers feel comfortable with the farming practices that we undertake as wheat farmers. And so we do a little bit of educational work there on how to get wheat from the farm to your fork. And also a lot of the nutritional information and try to target that at professionals so that whenever you go see a dietitian or you go see a nutritionist, they have accurate information, scientific-based, about wheat in the diet. And we do that through that coordinated effort with Wheat Foods Council. And as you mentioned, a lot of these events that we typically participate in have gone virtual, and so has Wheat Foods Council. They've really stepped up their game in producing video content. And they're closing in on 1 million views on a lot of these videos. And that video package that they've been able to put together over the past few months, a lot of really great helpful information in there, not only for professionals, but just for consumers. Home Baking Association is another great resource. They have a lot of recipe videos and instructional videos, not only for just consumers at home, but they also target that information to home ec classes and different courses that are taught in elementary and high school. And so really great resources there where we try to do that education and promotion piece so that we can maintain domestic use and enjoyment of wheat products. So the website, if you want to see some of those videos, is wheatfoods.org. And then, again, you can always find those type of resources on texaswheat.org as well.
Perfect. All right. That sounds like a great way to end, is talking about baking and learning how to cook and prepare wheat. And Silly, we just thank you for your time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
That's going to do it for our interview with Silly Fischbacher of Texas Wheat Producers. Please go out there and make it a great Monday. I'm KGNC Agribusiness News Director Shannon Gray.